Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those who are in the Los Angeles area, the guest call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including all those right here in the absolutely beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. And as also as usual, producer Kaina is in the chat room. She has it open. So if you want to log in, listen in, or express a comment or an opinion, she will make sure that it gets to me. And after the show, I will be also logging into the chat room for questions, comments, and concerns. So today's episode is focused on something that I've brought up before. And I'm calling the episode One Vote Each because it deals with the idea that we all have kind of an internal council in our minds. And I've brought it up before, and I got a lot of questions on it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain what I mean and how I utilize this particular tool to a little bit more of a deeper level. So first off, you picture a nice big council table. I usually like to make mine round because, you know, I'm an old King Arthur fan. And the idea is that every aspect of yourself has a place on that council because in their own way, each one is a very important piece of our decision-making process. Now, some people make choices based on their fears. Some people make choices based on their passions. And the idea is that each one of these qualities as an aspect of yourself has input, you know, on a subconscious level on how we move about in this world. Are we more driven by our anger? Are we more driven by our compassion? People who have a tendency to be healers are very much driven by the part of themselves that is empathic. And you know, for those who aren't sure on that term, empathy is the ability to feel the emotional and sometimes physical experience of other people as if it is their own. Now, empathy is a wonderful tool that I utilize very often in the work that I do. The body will tell me things that the person will not verbally tell me. And often I will find an issue that is not specific to what they're coming and complaining about, but it's actually the source of where their complaint comes from. So when you are in a healing profession or you just have a healing, nurturing nature, the empathic part of you tends to have a lot more sway in your decision-making process. So, like I said, in picturing this big round table and the way I do it for myself, and I've worked this for some years now, and it really helps a lot, is that everybody has a name badge. And nothing takes the edge off anger and fear as having them, you know, picturing them sitting there with a little name badge that says, "Hi, my name is Anger." Or, "Hi, my name is Fear." And the idea is that by identifying that anger is having a part of how I feel about my experiences, it takes away that helplessness. Because with all of these aspects that are sitting at that table, the culmination of them, which is me, which is, you know, the conscious Eileen. I am the president of the council. I lead it. I'm the only one who gets the gavel. And if I feel say, a sudden sense of fear that comes up. That is, in my mind, that aspect of me wearing the name badge, hi, my name is Fear, that aspect of me needs to call a council meeting. It's sitting there waving its arms going, hey, hey, something's not right, I'm calling a meeting. And every aspect of me has the ability to call a meeting. If I'm tremendously irritated, anger is calling a meeting. And it's like, okay, all right. Okay, Fear, you've called a meeting. What have you got? And all the other aspects of me are sitting there and waiting patiently, and Fear me. It's like, okay, where do I start? Oh, my gosh, this thing is happening, and this thing is happening, and this is all the ways that it could go badly, and we are not safe. And we go, okay, you know, and as the president, it's my job to listen to what each aspect has to say. There are no bad aspects. Anger is not a bad thing. Anger can have, like everything else, it has light and shadow. Fear, like everything else, has light and shadow. Fear has a wonderful job to, you know, to focus on making sure that I'm physically safe. And fear also, you know, has kind of a hard thing, because fear is like, you know, the that person who's always, you know, kind of the downer at the party, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, it could go bad, it could rain. Sort of like, you know, for those of you who, you know, are familiar with Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore. Eeyore just goes, well, you know, it's probably going to rain, it's probably going to this. And so fear gets wrapped up in we're not safe. And really, when you think about it, every aspect of yourself has the exact same goal. The goal is for the physical vessel to be physically and emotionally safe. They just each have a different way of thinking what safe means. The aspect of me that's wearing the fear name badge believes that the only way we can stay safe is if we don't risk anything, if we, you know, stay at home, and if we don't make waves and, you know, make sure to stay small, because then nobody can notice you and yell at you, and there's less responsibility. So, you know, fear has this whole idea within me as to what will keep it safe. When it doesn't feel safe, it demands to hold a meeting. And like I said, as president, it's my job to listen to everybody, because everybody has something valid. It's like, okay, Fear, you've expressed what you need to express, and I really want to thank you for bringing all this to our attention. Now let's hear some of the other votes. Because each aspect of myself, my anger, my fear, my love, my inner children, my higher self, my wise woman, my hormonal teenager, my inner guy, his name is Roy, and all of those pieces of me get a vote. They only get one. Now, just like in politics, they can lobby each other for support, and fear is going to almost always lobby anger, because fear knows that it can trigger anger, so that means anger is going to vote with it. So I listen to all the votes. I listen to all the input, both from the light and the shadow. And, you know, maybe I'll say, it's like, okay, love, you know, you've heard what Fear's concerns are. What do you think? And love usually just sits back and goes, you know what, we've always been okay. We're always going to be okay. We've got all these wonderful friends and family members who are there for us. And, you know, we know 20 people that if we picked up a phone and called them up and said, you know what, I'm in trouble, I need some help, that they would be there for us. So, you know, we really don't need to be that worried. It's going to be okay. And then it's like, okay, you know, Faith, what do you have to say? And Faith says, hey, you know, the spirit is always there for us. It's within us. We're a part of it. So we really, you know, we're as long as, you know, we hold to ourselves and as long as we believe that, we're going to be all right. Now, there are times when, you know, as I said, my inner children, not inner child, but inner children, because one is my happy inner child, and the other one is my wounded inner child. And there are times when it's not appropriate, as with any group of, you know, gathering of adults talking, there are times when it's not appropriate for the children to be there. They can be a part of some decisions, and there are certain times when maybe the discussion is a little bit scary, and maybe the discussion has them feeling nervous. So they're excused from the meeting. And it's like, it's okay, guys, we're going to be safe. You just run and play. And, you know, we'll talk about it afterwards, but, you know, you don't need to be here for this part. And by acknowledging that, because often when, you know, things get very emotional, when fear triggers up, it is the wounded inner child that ends up getting the gavel, because that is who feels the least safe, depending on what life experiences we've had, what our childhood was like, what is the old wounding that we still carry. And that little sweetheart will grab the gavel and run with it. And then I, as the conscious vessel, as the president, it's like, no, don't panic. It's okay, give me back the gavel. You're all right. But it really is easy to let one of the others filibuster. Fear loves to filibuster. Anger loves to filibuster. Resentment. Because I acknowledge that there are parts of me that resent. There are parts of me that carry anger. There's parts of me that are, you know, tremendously fearful. I do not see it. Now, I know people hold this in a lot of different ways, and whatever works for you, God bless you with it. And if it is working for you, then, you know, just embrace that. For me, I do not believe that I ever want to be without fear. I do not believe that I ever want to be without anger, because they are parts of me. They're parts of my humanity. Fear keeps me from putting a bag on my head and walking out onto the freeway. Fear knows something really bad is going to happen if I do that. It wants to take care of me. Even my anger wants to take care of me. It wants to keep danger at a distance. And as we look at how we respond to things, how we respond to situations and circumstances, who is it that is demanding attention? Who is it that wants the gavel? Who wants the keys to the tour bus? I am always in charge. And no matter what the circumstance, no matter what comes up, I have to take responsibility for that. And as the president of the council, I do have a responsibility to each and every member, to acknowledge them, to appreciate them. Because when fear is acknowledged in an emotional state, and I look at it and it's like, you know what? I'm scared. And I acknowledge that even out loud. I'm scared. What that does is that takes that edge off the fear, because it's not being suppressed. It's like, oh, okay, you heard me. I'm trying to protect us, and this isn't working for me. So first, by acknowledging the fear, acknowledging the anger, because usually I find if I'm really angry about something, I will ask myself, what am I afraid of? What's scaring me right now to the point where I feel a good offense is the best defense, that I want to hold people at arm's length, that I don't want to trust? Usually, in my case, that is based in being scared. Fear is the little motivator behind that. So then it becomes, how do I identify what I'm afraid of, and is there something I can do about it? If I'm afraid that a big earthquake is going to happen, well, there's not a lot I can do about that other than making sure that my home is as prepared as it can be. And if it turns out I'm afraid of something that really is not sensible, okay, so why don't we get some of these other votes in? All right, Fear, I heard you out. Confidence, what are you saying? Confidence is like, you know what? Whatever. You know, it's not that bad. We've survived worse, and we will survive worse after this. So, you know, don't worry about it. This is very low. And it allows Fear to go, oh, okay, all right, I'm still going to be concerned. And I go, duly noted. You can find, you know, your concern about this is in the minutes. And, yes, maybe I will have a council meeting about the same thing over and over again. Well, but they and that person, and I'm still irritated, and I'm not over it. All right, we acknowledge that we're not over it. Do we have a vote on how long we want to be not over it? You know, make it a group thing. Say, okay, who votes that we let it go in 2 days? Who votes that we let it go now? Who votes that, you know, we hang on to it for a month and probably aggravate ourselves and our own digestion? It doesn't really matter how you visualize it and, you know, whether it's a council meeting, whether it's a party that you're all at, whether it's, you know, however you want to visualize it. The important thing is that you acknowledge each one of those pieces. Identify each one of those pieces. Know that they each have their own energy, that they have their own frequency. And each one is important because each one is trying to keep you safe. Even Fear, especially Fear. Each one figures out, you know, my courage was the one that decided, you know what, I think we should jump out of a plane. We should skydive. And, you know, there were certain votes for that, and there were some definite votes against it. And it's like, you know what, I've heard all of your arguments. I've heard all of your discussions. Now, this is what I've decided to do, and don't worry, we're going to be okay. And as I rolled out of a plane at 10,000 feet, strapped to a perfect stranger who I was really hoping wasn't, like, depressed, and as I was falling through the air and I look up and I see the plane flying away from me, I thought, wow, I really hope this wasn't a bad decision. And at that point, Fear was just speechless. Oh, my God, I can't believe we did this. And my, you know, my courage was going, woohoo! And my inner children weren't quite sure, but they figured, well, we're flying. And this is flying, and isn't this cool? And my faith stepped in and said, you know what? This is the ultimate leap of faith. We're going to be all right. Because we wouldn't have been inspired to do this if it wasn't going to be okay. So the idea, and ultimately I landed safely, and I was very happy to do so, and that we had an immediate council meeting where it's like, you know what, I don't think we need to do that again, although I'm glad we did. And everybody was on it, and, you know, they were fanning Fear and, you know, giving Fear smelling salts, and it's like, wake up, we're done, we're okay. By allowing each part of yourself to kind of have a say, to be personified in a way that allows you to not be overwhelmed by it, to remember that each one has only one vote, and none of their votes will override the president of the board, the president of the council, which is the collective you. We each have the ability to make choices in our lives, and sometimes those choices aren't correct. And, yes, there are times when, you know, certain council members will say, see, I told you. Like, all right, duly noted. We may end up doing it again, but in a different way. And either way, we survived it. Because bottom line, we want to survive. We want to be able to be okay and feel safe. And as we look at the different parts of ourselves that want us all, as a collective being, to be safe, you know, each one is going to go in their own way. You know, as I said, empathy is a wonderful thing to utilize as a tool in healing. And yet it has a definite shadow side, because that means that, you know, it can go into codependence. It can go into, well, I'm going to take care of all these other people and ignore myself. It goes into, I can't feel safe and stable if everybody around me isn't happy. So at that point, it's like, okay, empathy, dial it back. You do not get the gavel. You do not get to take us all on a trip where we feel bad so somebody else can feel good. Nobody else is voting for that. So even our positive, even our light, you know, what you would normally consider light emotion, even love has a shadow side. It can go into obsession. It can go into, you know, unhealthy. It can go into enabling and codependent. So love doesn't get more than one vote either. And we always consider, okay, love's voting for this, but I don't know, this is not seeming healthy. Let's take a look at what everybody else has to say. And then make a choice. Part of you, no matter what you're feeling, is only one part. It's only one piece. It is only one aspect of who you are and what you want in life. It is about being able to be collectively safe. And I consider the word safe, I broke that down to mean the state after finding equilibrium. If I'm going through a period of time where pretty much I'm letting anger allow me to, you know, go into an emotional place that I don't want to be, but because I'm letting anger run, anger's best idea for us to stay safe is, you know, hit them before they hit us, and, you know, and keep up that good defense, and, you know, go on the offensive and be loud. And, you know, it's like, all right, if I'm on the offensive, I'm in control, which is not true. And, you know, sometimes the other council members go, hey, 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 we need to have a meeting because anger is filibustering. Anger is running amok and something needs to be done. And it's like, okay, anger, what have you got? And what's the real reason why all this is going on? And, you know, maybe anger is just scared about something. Maybe anger got their feelings hurt. And, you know, in order to say it doesn't matter to me, I don't care, you know, lashing out. Maybe I'm grieving for something or for someone. And anger is one of the appropriate stages of grief. So at that point, I might say, okay, counsel, I understand that, you know, anger needs to dial it back, and anger is helping me to heal. Anger is helping all of us to get this emotion out. This is a normal and appropriate response. So we're going to give anger a little bit of leeway, because if we clamp anger down now, we're not going to feel better, and we're not going to get better. So allowing and really being authentic with what you're feeling in that moment, and acknowledge it. If you're feeling angry, you're feeling angry. How you act on it is up to you, and there are definite consequences to acting on it. And the feeling is no more and no less than that, a feeling. And it is one of many feelings that you have. And if one particular feeling is coming up very powerfully, there must be a reason for it. Take a look at it. Is it fear? Is it that empathy has, you know, done sort of a sneaky move and is triggering the feelings of someone else? Maybe it's not even my anger. I may be just near somebody who's angry. So my first question is, okay, anger, is this mine? Does this belong to me? And the answer to that question may be no. I'm reflecting what someone else is feeling, somebody else's fear, somebody else's aggravation. So it's very important to know whether or not something truly belongs to you. And if it does, to own it. To say, okay, you know, who has input on this? And everybody should have input. You know, both the gentle side and the not so gentle side. And then once the entire council has had a chance to have a say, like, okay, I want to thank you all for your input, and this is my choice, and we're going to be fine. And, you know, over years of working with this process, I can actually, you know, go through an entire council vote and input and discussion in about maybe 5-10 minutes, which is often a good thing, that if something comes up, to be able to step away from it. To go, okay, you know, we're going to need to go outside and take a little walk, or, you know, have some quiet time because something has come up that needs my attention. And it's the same if all of a sudden I feel like I need to go out and I need to find a playground with a swing. That is, you know, one of my inner children going, you know what? You've been playing the grown-up game. You've been doing the grown-up things. We haven't had any fun. We want to have fun, and we want to have fun now, so we're going to a zoo or we're going to a park, because if we're not happy and we're not having fun, we're going to make sure that everybody knows it. We get scared and we don't feel safe when every once in a while we don't have a chance to have some fun. And I have to honor that because, you know, it's very easy to get wrapped up in the idea that, you know, we've got all these grown-up things and grown-up concerns and, you know, fear and anger telling us stuff and, you know, confidence is saying, you know what, we can do this. Let's just buckle down and we can do this. And yet, somewhere in there, the fun gets lost. Taking time out to go and play on a swing, that was one of my favorite things as a kid. And to go and find a park where I can sit on a swing and just swing. Or have strawberry quick. You know, the strawberry, that was my favorite, also my favorite when I was little. It's like you take strawberry quick and you mix it in with milk, and it's this wonderful, like a strawberry milkshake. Those little things that we can do to nurture our fun. Because if we're not having fun at some point, there really is no point. Joy needs to be brought in, because there's lots of places where there's hard stuff. As I've said many times, life is fun until it isn't, and it sucks until it doesn't. So at those fun parts, you know, really enjoy it. Believe me, the whole council is going to vote for that. And as you look at these different parts of yourself, honoring each one, honoring what they've been through, why they do what they do, why they feel what they feel, and how they want to keep you safe. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Just don't suppress it. There's nothing wrong with being angry. You can go there, just don't pitch a tent. Allow each part of you to be authentic. And it's surprising how they're willing to allow you, each separate aspect will allow you, the collective you, to make the decision and to hold the gavel. They each only get one vote. And it's important that they each get a vote to be a happier and healthier you. So thank you for joining me. We'll be back next week. If you'd like to know more about me, you can find out more at my website, www.the-healing-house.com. And you can also email me at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. So in the meantime, be balanced, be blessed. Listen to each aspect of yourself, because it is an amazing thing. And you wouldn't be quite you without everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.